Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom. This is the day that Jehovah has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. I give all the glory to Elohim, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, for giving us, I know for giving me, another gracious and great rising morning. He didn't have to wake us up, but he did. Hallelujah, and glory to the King. It's good to be alive. It's good to be here with you one more time. I praise Jehovah for all who made the choice to tune in to Crown Talking Drums Radio this day and fit this time in your schedule, because you didn't have to do that, but you did. And if you're tuning in live, it's early Sunday morning, the 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time hour, January the 28th. This month is almost gone. This is the beginning of the last week, and we're starting, we live, Father willing, we live to see it. We're starting a new month this week. Wow. I tell you, time doesn't stand still and wait on nobody. It just keeps on ticking right into the future. I pray we're all about our Father's business. So I welcome you to, for such a time as this, radio broadcast hour. My name is Sarepta Cunningham, and once again, I'm grateful to the Almighty Father that I have another opportunity to share his goodness and his faithfulness and his peace, his love, his joy. Get to do it on this platform, and I don't take that for granted. I thank him also that he gives me a willingness to do it. I'm not struggling to do it. You know, it's a willingness. Amen. That's a blessing. I don't take him for granted. It's a blessing to be able to just encourage others. And when I'm encouraging somebody else, I'm encouraging myself. And I probably always say that because it's the truth. Amen. I get blessed. Just hearing sometimes the words that come out of my mouth, that he allows to flow out of my mouth. Amen. It's a blessing. And he gets all the glory. No glory comes to me. Amen. I just love encouraging someone else, and you know, with his truth that never will change. It's going to remain the same forever. His truth came here to set man free. Amen. I need to be set free. What about you? Amen. This is not a one-time deal. He's continuously setting us free. He's continuously showing us where we need to come up a little higher. Amen. I tell you, his truth brings elevation. Yes, it does. It brings, because it's elevating us. And when we take heed to his truth, amen, the very life of who he is, that's his word. Amen. It brings him to the forefront, not us. Amen. It's all about him. Amen. And he gives us the tools, which is his word, to fight with, to continue to stand with, to walk in faith with. Amen. His word also, it cuts sin. Yes, it does. And we know sin is anything that keeps us bound to it and keeps us walking in disobedience to the will of our heavenly Creator. Amen. It keeps us sin. When we stay bound to sin, we're not pleasing the Father. We're not walking in his ways. Amen. And see, I don't ever want to take it for granted that I get to help encourage us right here on this platform. Amen. I can't describe how much of a blessing it is. And even as I'm talking and sharing, and you're going to hear me stating the original Hebrew names like Yeshua for Jesus, Messiah for Christ, Elohim for God, Jehovah for Lord. Sometimes I may say master when that Lord is in the context, meaning the master talking about Yeshua himself. You know, man changed all these names in all the various translations over time. But the Father said in the Torah, in the first five books, in Exodus, I believe, he never wanted his name to be changed. And Messiah was referred to Messiah before he even came on the scene, which he was already here. He was already in the heavenlies with our almighty creator. Amen. But those names should have never got changed. And I'm just grateful that, and I want to honor his name, just like my name. my mother gave me a name at birth, and my brothers gave me a nickname. And I do not like that name. I like my name, my birth name. Hallelujah. So, you know, I can understand, I can relate to how when the Father said, don't change my name, keep my name. But guess what? Our names, those of us who's following after him, our names has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My. What's thy name going to be when we get in his presence? That just took me to another arena, but I got to stay focused. Hallelujah. This is just the introduction. But, you know, just in case you don't know or someone's listening in to the recorded broadcast, amen, Yeshua, he came to earth in human flesh, not just for you and me. He came for the entire world, this sin-sick world. He sacrificed his life with the shedding of his blood that atones, hallelujah, with it's an atoning blood that was an ultimate and final shedding of blood. No more animal sacrifice for our sin. I tell you, that's just a blessing. And he also came in order that mankind, that we can be restored or reconciled back to the almighty creator. There's only one way in, and that's through the Messiah. That's it. That's the only way back to the Father. Amen. No other way. Any other way you try to get in, you're trying to get in like a thief and a robber. And thieves and robbers aren't going to make it in. I'm just here to tell you. But it's just beyond a blessing to just have this faith and this belief in the Son of Elohim. By way, we have this belief in this faith by way of the Almighty. He pulled us, he drawed us, and he's still drawing us. He's still pulling us to know him even the more. I tell you, I just love him because Elohim so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, take that word into account, whosoever, it doesn't matter. Someone who could look like they down to the in the pig pen, look like they in the lowest of the lowest, and there is no hope. Long as there's breath in life, that can be a whosoever. Believeth in him should not perish, hallelujah, but have everlasting life. That John 3:16 is a powerful verse and a powerful passage of scripture. A lot of us memorized it maybe in our childhood. I know I did. Didn't really know the meaning then. But I tell you, I know the meaning now, and Father's still giving a fresh revelation in that one passage of scripture over and over again. That's the way he does his word. I tell you, I just thank him for the Messiah, who is the anointed one who was sent. Yes, his mission when he came to this earth was to set the example for his followers to live obedient lives by. We get to pattern our lives after him. That's why I got to look at him and pay attention to what he says and what he instructed in the scriptures. Amen. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession on behalf of those who's walking after his will. The saints, hallelujah, set apart ones. We're living holy lives. We're on purpose. We're doing it on purpose. Amen. And he's coming back. He's going to return for us again. Are we ready? The bride is coming. Hallelujah. I mean, the bridegroom is coming back for his bride. Amen. I want to be ready, prepared. Want to have my lamp and my oil in burning. Hallelujah. I don't want to be lukewarm. That's for sure. You know, it's just a blessing. And I'm just excited. Sometimes I know sometimes I just talk, and this introduction is probably too long. I probably talk too much. I just get excited when I get to talking about the goodness of our Father and his Son, what he's done for us, what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's yet to do. Because, see, there's a lot going on in this world. I mean, a whole lot of mess. It is. It's a lot. This political stuff going on, I turned on the news the other day, and who did I see? Donald Trump running his mouth. I tell you, that's a bold man. He just gonna say whatever comes up, it's gonna come out. He's something. But you know what? It's a lot of people like that in this world. They don't care what they say, how they say it. They don't. They just don't care. But we got something to say. And I'm glad. When it comes to the Messiah, the Almighty Creator, when it comes to Elohim, hallelujah, yes, we got something to say. And I'm just glad this morning. And we're going to talk about some good news. Amen. We only one we thwarting and throwing darts at is that enemy, that wicked one. Hallelujah. I like making him mad. Hallelujah. Yes, he has no power when it comes to the things of the Most High. Getting it right, my headpiece, excuse me for a minute, my headpiece is all twisted up and I don't want this thing to disconnect me. Wait a minute, give me just a minute here. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Amen. I didn't realize it was all twisted up and knotted up. Mm. But I'm just thankful this morning that with all that's going on in this world, amen, all the chaos we can see, some chaos may be going on right in our immediate homes or with a family member that's connected to us, a loved one. Amen. But we have to remember who brings the peace. And we have to remember who we're representing to bring the peace. Amen. It's all about, hallelujah, knowing who you are and whose you are. Amen. With all the chaos that's going on, we have to know what our purpose is and what we add to the equation of all this confusion, of all this mess, the lawlessness and the homelessness and everything that's going on, everything on the rise and everything, the prices. And I even got my mortgage payment. I saw how much my mortgage was going up. I'm like, okay, Father, thank you. I thank you. I'm not going to get all worried and upset about this. You my provider. Amen. He's Jehovah. He provides everything. Amen. And you know, with all that going on, we're going to talk about this good news. Amen. Although all this stuff is rising up around us and chaos is everywhere around us, as believers in the truth of Yeshua Messiah, we must continue to pray. We must continue to trust our Heavenly Father fully. Amen. With what his word says. His word has the final say in every single battle. Amen. That's why we have to take him at his word. That's why we have to know what his word says. So as the Father sees fit, as I'm prompted by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about his good news. Hallelujah. If ever there was a time, yes, for kingdom encouragement. Hallelujah. Through this active word, this living word of Elohim. And if ever there was a time for effectual fervent prayer in this world that we live in today, the time is now. So I hope you come with ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear what the Father has to say today. Hallelujah. I hope you come with your spiritual eyes open to see what's really going on in this world around you and right in your direct access around you. Hallelujah. Followers of Yeshua Messiah, hallelujah, and the truth that he taught from the Father, we can continue to go forth being those effective kingdom citizens. We want to be effective. We want to make a difference while we're here on this earth, in this earth. Amen. That's what the Most High has anointed and appointed us to be. Amen. I speak his shalom unto you, and we're going to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this brand new day that you've allowed us to see. You woke us up, clothed in our right mind. Hallelujah. Don't take that for granted. I know I don't. Thank you, Father, for this new mercy that you extended to us today, where we're not going to get what we might deserve. Hallelujah. All your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. We thank you for this new day of grace. Hallelujah. That you've also extended to us, where we will get
probably what we do not deserve. Hallelujah. You continue to keep giving us your mercy and your grace. Help us not to take it or you for granted. Hallelujah. Help us, Father. We need your help. I know I do, and I have to acknowledge that every morning when I wake up. I have to acknowledge that I need you. I can't make it without you. I need you, Father. Hallelujah. To stir my path, to lead me and guide me every step of the way. I need, Father, we all need to seek you first and your righteousness. And you said when we do that, seek you first and your righteousness, you said everything that we have need of will be added unto us. Help us to acknowledge you in all our ways, not some of them, but in all our ways, that you will direct our path. Oh, Father, we just thank you. Don't take me for granted that you are our Jehovah. Yes, you supply everything that we need. If we need healing, hallelujah, you are rock. Yes, we thank you for that. You are our shepherd, Rohi. Oh, we thank you this morning. You are Shalom. Yes, your peace. You're our peace. And we thank you for that. Hallelujah. You're our covering. You're our Nisi. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Help us to acknowledge who you are to us. Help us to acknowledge who we are in you. Thank you for letting us recognize that we belong to you. Hallelujah. By your grace, we didn't wake up this morning laying on a cardboard box. We thank you that we woke up with a roof over our head. We're sleeping in a bed. Oh, my. Help us, Father, not to take these things for granted, that we don't have to drink the same water that we bathed in. It's some in countries that have to do that. We don't know. It might be our next door neighbor. Father, help us to be sensitive, hallelujah, to the things around us. We're so unneighborly these days. We live in houses and we have neighbors, and some of us don't even been living in the house for years and don't even know our neighbors' names. That's bad. Father, help us. We need to know each other. I know my neighbor's name. I only have one set. Well, the two sets, it's another set next to them. I know them too. Amen. So, Father, thank you. Help us to check on one another and see about one another and not take this life for granted. Father, we just give you praise this morning. Hallelujah. That you're clothing us in our right mind even now. So many things that we can take for granted, but help us not to. Help us, Father, not to. Heavenly Father, I just ask for your guidance. Yes. Once again, the help and the aid of your Holy Spirit, that today we speak your word to any of the listening ears who desire to be encouraged, who desire to be elevated in you. Father, I just take this time to welcome you, to infiltrate this time in your presence. Yes, for such a time as this, we need you. We pray this prayer. Hallelujah. In the name of your son, Yeshua. Amen. Amen. And to you, Father, be all the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I just thank you this morning. Can't praise you enough for what you're doing, Father. Amen. And you know, as we're talking about all the chaos and everything that's going on in this world around us, or you can turn the news on, you can turn on the TV, television just isn't what it used to be anymore. You turn it on and you see so many shows and things, and it's just all full of sin, worldly sin. I tell you, it really is. A lot of things that we look at on regular stations, and some things that you look at on somewhat like believers stations, you still gonna find something that might need to be tweaked. I tell you, that doesn't line up about that supposed truth, that doesn't line up with the truth. But, amen. It's just the truth anyhow. But I'm just grateful this morning. Hallelujah. That we're living in this wicked world. Yes, because we're in this world as believers. But guess what? We shouldn't be of this world. That's right. We shouldn't be allowing this world to dictate to us. We have the word. The word is what should be our dictatorship. We have the instructions that the Father gave us from the beginning to the end of the Bible. Amen. Instructions to instruct us, to lead us in the right path, to help us to make the right decisions. Amen. Because sometimes we make bad decisions. So we're living in a world that's full of temptations, you know, things that can lure us in to its enticing flavors or whatever you want to call it. We're tempted on every side. On every side, we're tempted. Every time you turn around, there's a temptation. There's a test. I'm serious. I mean, I know me. I know with me it is. Temptation is all around, and it's going to always come. That devil don't care. The devil is the master tempter. We know that. He's always at work. But he might be always at work. But guess what? Our Father's always at work, too. That's why we got to have this word in us. So when that tempter comes, we'll be able to stand against him. Amen. He's at all always at work, but the Father's always at work. Is he working in us? Is he working in you? Is he working in me? Amen. And then we're tempted sometimes with the own lust of whatever's in us, iniquity, whatever's in us. That's why even stating earlier, I think I came out, that there's mess in us. I think I kind of said something about it in the introduction. We have to change. And the Father's always working on us, working through us, changing us from the inside out, purifying us from the inside out. And that's just not a one-time deal. This is a constant working. We're a work in progress. Amen. But we have to want him to work on us. We have to want him. We have to seek him to help us. It's not just going to happen with us just walking around trying to figure it out on our own. When we're trying to do it in our own strength, guess what? We're not trusting him. We're not trusting him. We're not taking him at what his word says concerning whatever the matter is, whatever the test is, whatever the temptation is. Because, hey, they're going to come. Amen. They're going to come. Yes. And it happens. Sometimes we even tempt, not, we don't even get to go through. Sometimes temptation even comes when we're asleep. The enemy is trying to work in our dreams. Oh, yes. So day and night, we're tempted. So you know that's what we're going to talk about today, being tempted. The Father said, I said, okay, Father, what word do you have for us? And he started just saying, temptation and tempted. I'm like, okay. So apparently we need to hear this. I'm grateful this morning that the Father, when he gives me a word or a sentence or a question, because what he had me write down was tempted. Will we escape temptation every time? Think about that. Will you and I escape temptation every time? I know there's been times in my life where I didn't escape. I was taken over in it, messed up, made some stupid mistakes. So I guess, you know, going forward, I don't want to do that. But in my past, I didn't escape. I fell prey to the temptation. And guess what? I had to live with the after effect too. I'm sure you had some situations in your life. Guess what? Who's perfect on this line? Who's perfect that's listening to me right now? Neither one of us. I'm included. Still not perfect. I still need the Father to work on me. Work on me, Father. That's why I have to surrender every day. I surrender this body unto you, Father, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. That's the reasonable. So that's the least I can do. Amen. This body, this life of mine now no longer belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you either. You better recognize, amen, we belong to our almighty creator once we made the choice, hallelujah, to believe him. What his word says, have the faith to trust in Yeshua Messiah, his son. My. Once we made that choice, the changes started taking place. It just wasn't. Salvation is not a one-time deal. We're continuing to be delivered and set free over and over again. Amen. We must recognize that. It's not a one-time deal.
Oh, I got it now. No, this is not a bed of ease, a bed of roses. Oh, no. Amen. We're going to walk through some stuff. Amen. Yes, we're going to have to endure through some stuff. Hoopamanay. That's what that word is. Hoopamanay. We're going to have to hoopamanay through some stuff. Oh, yes. Amen. But we have this word, hallelujah, this truth that helps us. And the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, speaking to our human spirit, leading us, guiding us, speaking to our thought process, our mind. Amen. Helping us to go in the right direction. Oh, yeah, because we're going to be tempted. Amen. We're going to be tempted. Let us start in the book of James. Amen. And this is very familiar passage. Okay, so I asked that question. Yeah, tempted. Will we escape temptation every time? And the answer at the end, I said, we can. We can. We just have to be in that place. But we'll get to that later on. Let us go to James, the first chapter of James. Amen. Going to start at the going to read the first four verses. Then we're going to read a couple more below. James, the letter of James, a servant of Elohim and of the Master, Yeshua Messiah, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Rejoice. Hallelujah. This word is for us today. Amen. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. See, there's going to be many. Not only was this word spoken back then, the letter of James writing it to all those tribes that were scattered everywhere, all over the place. See, there's some history here. Scattered, they was everywhere, all about from this place to that place. That's why so many letters were going forth, written to give instruction, written to still encourage. You know, some were wanting to lose and go back on their faith. We're going to talk about that a little later on. See, that's still happening today. Nothing's new under this sun. Nothing's changed. Amen. So here, we still need this encouragement today because we need to be reminded that we're going to fall into many, all different sort of trials and tests. We're going to have different kinds. Amen. We just need to be reminded of that. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, sometimes people say, I need some patience. That's one thing I never prayed for. Because I know when I go through a test or a trial, it's going to come. Even when sometimes you're standing in a line or you're in traffic, you see people that are so impatient. You see people that's driving like recklessly in and out and weaving in and out of traffic. You see people in grocery stores, some of them so except they might have two items and they don't want to go to self-checkout. Some of the self-checkout, you have to pay with a card. Some people may just have cash and they just impatient. They go from line to line. I've seen that because I'm always watching my surroundings. You see people that are impatient. Amen. We have need of patience. We need it. We need to walk in it. It's one of the attributes of the fruit that we should be bearing. The fruit of the Spirit, that's one of the attributes that we should be. It's in us, but it has to get worked out of us. I know somebody listening right now saying, yeah, I need it. I'm thinking about a situation that just happened yesterday. Somebody might be saying, I'm thinking about something this morning while I'm waiting to maybe get in the restroom or something. You just never know. Patience, we need it. And it says, let patience have her perfect work. Let her endure. Amen. Let it, you know, be an endurance and a steadfastness in us. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect, that you may mature. You may mature in areas, grow up in areas. You know, sometimes when I get in the store, even if I'm in a hurry, and for whatever reason it's delayed, and sometimes I say, I got the wrong line. Not really. Sometimes you just have need of patience. Sometimes you can turn around and you look. Someone you look at look like they were just, you can just give them a smile, and they'll smile back at you. And sometimes I've heard them say, I needed that smile today. Sometimes you don't know why you're delayed, but you have need of patience. Paul even told us that. We have need of patience. Amen. It's a part of an attribute. And let it have its perfect, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, when you mature in areas, you won't lack anything. You're good, you're clear, you're at peace. You have that shalom, amen, that the Father gives us because we're walking in that patience. Because we're going to be tried, we're going to be tested. It could even be in the traffic, it could be in the grocery store. Amen, it could be at the gas pump when you have to wait to get gas. Come on. We're going to be tested even in those little things that you don't think is nothing that may cause you to say a few choice words that you don't have no business allowing to come out your mouth. It's something to think about. We have need of patience. We're tempted on every side. The enemy don't care how he comes in. If he get a foothold in one area, he want to take full control. Are you going to let him? Will you escape temptation every time? All I can say is we can. You can. I can. We just have to be in that place. Let us jump down to the 12th verse. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. See, when we think about this word tempted, it means being tempted by the tempter, to be tried, to be proven, to be examined. And tempted, it also means that we're solicited to sin. That's what he wants us to solicit us to mess up. He wants us to solicit us to fall short. Amen. He wants us to walk in our flesh in the situation. I don't care what it is. But it says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Master hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of Elohim. For Elohim cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. See, the Father doesn't tempt us. Anytime any temptation is coming, it does not come from our Father. Where the Father did that, where God did that, I call him, as I stated, you hear me calling him, you're going to hear me stating his Hebrew names. Amen. So when I say Elohim, I'm talking about God. The one and only Almighty Creator Elohim. That's who I'm talking about. You just hear so many people say God, and they're just saying it in all kind of context. What God are you talking about? Then you're cussing in the next sentence. What God are you talking about? I'm talking about Elohim, the one I'm following hard after. Yes, looking to be a sweet-smelling scent into his nostrils. I don't want to bring any stench to his nostrils. Amen. That's why when we're tempted on it, we can't blame Elohim. It's not him that's tempting us. The scripture didn't. Does the word lie? No. I'm glad you said that. The word is the truth. The uncompromised truth. He tempted with evil. Neither he tempted he any man. 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, a lot of times it's mess that's in us. I stated this earlier, probably maybe in the introduction time, or whenever I started talking about this part after prayer. We got mess in us, and it's still mess in us, that it takes a situation or a circumstance to happen for us to see it. But when we see it, what do we do about it? Do we just let it stay there? Like, wow. I know there's been times I said, man, I didn't even know that was still there. Or that was still dealing with that. I mean, come on. And I've been on this journey, this walk, for about 40 years. Been walking messianic truth, though, that with the Hebrew studies of the scriptures in that truth. Yes, knowing that I have to still keep the law and obey the Ten Commandments and the law, which the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the law and the commandments, have to know all that because I was only doing some of it.
So just not doing all of it, you just still in disobedience. All these years, but in all these years, amen, there's still mess in me that the Father, the Holy Spirit reveals through situations and circumstances. And see, when the temptation or that test or whatever comes, and you see what's in you, and you know it's not of the Father, what you gonna do about it? Well, that's just me. That's just the way I am. You know, we're supposed to be patterning our lives after the Son, Yeshua Messiah. If we're patterning our lives after him, he was the only perfect one, only without sin. He's our example. That's who we're patterning our lives after, as believers in the faith. So if we're doing that, and some type of mess is revealed in us, we can't say, well, I'm just like my mom, I'm just like my daddy. My daddy is my heavenly creator, Elohim. That's my daddy. This new life that we come into, we can't go off of what our biological parents or however they were. See, we are changing. We are yet being changed from the inside out. So when something pops up, yes, even 30, 40 years later, guess what? You better work on that thing, get it right. Oh, Father, I bring that before you. And if it came out and it was in the presence of somebody, you better hurry up and get that thing right. Because we're representatives. We represent holiness. There is no other way. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what the Father, that's what our instructions are. Holiness means being set apart. It doesn't mean what you look like on the outside, because we can dress this flesh up and we can appear to be this and that. But see, what's going on in the inside of us is really what, if there's wickedness in us, guess what? It's going to come out. Every secret thing, guess what? It's going to be revealed. The word does not lie. This word, this truth is all we have to bank on. I know that's what I have to bank on. And some things I was taught in the church, through the church, was incorrectly taught. But I'm unlearning some things. And I'm loving every part of this process of the journey. When you ask Father to order and lead your steps, he don't put you anywhere that you don't need to be. When you are really, truly seeking him, wanting his divine will, not just his will that's permitted. I want his perfect will for my life. Don't you? I want to be in his perfect will. I don't want to just be guessing and trying to figure it out on my own. Father, I need you to order my steps in your word. That iniquity, hallelujah, will have to leave me. Amen. Let not iniquity take over. Hallelujah. I need them. And you do too. That's why you're here today. That's why you're listening right now. To get what the Father wants to encourage you with. It's all about encouraging. I'm not here to bash nobody. When I'm talking to you, guess what? I'm talking to me. I'm not perfect. None of us are. We won't be perfected until we hear him say, well done. Are you living? Is your lifestyle reflecting to hear him say, well done? I'm talking about from the inner being of you. Your soulish realm, your mind, your will, your emotions, are you converting them over to what the Father is instructing us to do? What he's instructing us to say? See, we got a lot of mess in us. And see, then when lust, 15th verse, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, sin, disobedience in any kind of way in our lives that's not honoring and fulfilling the word of the Father, whether it's through your actions, your deeds, your whatever you're doing that's unpleasing to the Father, that's not lining up with his will and his word. It brings death, physical and spiritual.
Because sometimes we can be doing things, we can be speaking death to our lives. You know, the words that come out of our mouth has believers, especially, of the faith, in the faith. Our words are powerful. That's why the past scripture tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. It says death and life are in the power of our tongue. And you shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you're speaking life, guess what you're going to have? Life. If you're speaking death, negativity, doom, that's what you're going to have. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. Sometimes our mouth gets us in trouble, causes us to sin, because we're creating worlds. We're framing our own world by what comes out of our mouth. We are powerhouses. That's why I have to put myself in check a lot of times. If something come out of my mouth, wait a minute. I condemn those words. Those words didn't come from you, Father. Immediately. And sometimes I find myself doing that to other people. When I hear people say certain things, I don't do it. I do it in love. I try to do it in love. And if any of you listening in and I've done that with you, I just correct the words. I can't help myself because I've done it to myself. And I'm trying to help somebody else see that. To help them. I never want to be critical of no one because I don't have the right to point the finger at nobody. Amen. I'm still working out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling, with reverence unto the Father and what his word says. Oh yes, I'm still working it out with his help. Amen. Let us keep on moving. My. Let us go to Matthew's, the book of Matthew's. Let us back up to Matthew's. We know Matthew gave his own personal account. He walked right there with Yeshua. He was in his presence. He saw him teaching and he saw him preaching and he saw him laying hands on and healing. He saw a lot. He had an eyewitness account. Amen. Of Yeshua Messiah, the fourth chapter of Matthew, starting at the first verse. And if Yeshua was tempted, guess what? We're going to be tempted too. Right here, it even says he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. We're going to have some wilderness experiences. Some of us may be in one right now. Guess what? If you just came out of one, there's going to be another one. That's why the Father said, talk about this being tempted, because we're going to be tempted. Let us read this word. Then was Yeshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was led to this dry place to be tempted. He was led by the Spirit. He didn't just go on his own account. The Spirit drew him into this wilderness experience. So what does that tell us? There's going to be times where the Spirit may lead us into a situation, a wilderness experience. We're just going to have to walk through it. Not no doing of our own, not no decision that we made, but the Spirit, hallelujah, led us into that. Sometimes we go into situations and we're like, what am I doing here? And there's a whole lot of hell going on. But guess what? The Spirit led us into that situation. Guess what? Sometimes to bring peace. That's who we represent. To bring the presence. We get to carry the glory of our Father. I take happiness in that. That's a blessing. It's his glory, not ours. But we can carry his glory. We can wear it. We are those light bulbs. Yes. That illuminate, that walks into darkness and the light illuminates. That's why we should be the salt of the earth, the light of this dark world, light of the world. And we're not going to hide that. Everywhere we go, we should make a difference. Amen. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered. He was hungry. Can you imagine? He didn't drink, eat nothing. He had no food for 40 days. So you know he was hungry. And when the tempter, who was the tempter? Satan himself yet came to him. He said, if thou be the son of Elohim, command that these stones be made bread. So he's hungry, right? He's commanding him to turn those stones into bread so he can fill up his belly. But what did Yeshua say to him? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Elohim. Anytime that is written, guess what that's written? It was already written in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in the law. That was written in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. That's where that was written. Amen. He said it is written. Deuteronomy 8:3 states, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Jehovah doth man live. See, natural bread is not going to get it for us. And that's what he was addressing to that devil. He said, this has already been written. This was written when the Israelites was walking those 40 days in the wilderness, those 40 years in the wilderness. That wilderness experience that they were experiencing when they were asking for more than, you know, they wanted something else. They didn't want the man. They wanted some bread. They wanted more than what was given. Murmuring and complaining. My. 40 years they were in that wilderness. And he, see the parallel there? The 40 days of the fasting? That's a parallel. But he said it is written. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, upon a gable, a temple, like of a sanctuary. He set him up over there, and he saith unto him, if you be the son of Elohim, cast yourself down, for there it is again, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And that, if you want to record it, is written in Psalms 91. Psalms 91, that's where it's written. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go there because we still got a little ways to go. Psalm 91, 11 and 12. It was written right there. So he just reminded and said, wait a minute, this has already been written. See, the word's already been settled in heaven and it doesn't change. The Father doesn't change. He is his word. His word doesn't change. Amen. Amen. So how do we as man have the right to change the word? Amen. It's been taught on the pulpit that we don't have to follow after the commandments anymore. We're under grace. We've been under grace. In the Old Testament, they were under grace even then. Do your cross-reference on the word grace, and you will see how much grace was extended to them even in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, in the Torah. The Tanakh is the Old Testament, but the Torah is the first five books of the law and the commandments. Amen. And that's what Yeshua came teaching. That's why they hated him and despised him. He came teaching his father's law because they were setting up their own traditions and their own Jewish laws and customs. That's why they hated him. My. 7th verse. Yeshua said unto him, wait a minute. He shall give his angel charge over thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time. Yes, Yeshua said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt Jehovah your Elohim. So that's the 7th verse. 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Yeshua unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. There it is again. It's written again. And that was written in Deuteronomy 6:13. Amen. If you want to write that and go back and read it. Thou shalt worship Jehovah your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So see, we're definitely not greater than the Yeshua, the Messiah, who came into this world, who came on this earth, Elohim in human flesh. If we're not greater than him, if he was tempted, and what did he come back with? He came back with the word. So we have to come back with the word when we're tempted, because we're going to be tempted. Various temptations, multiple kinds, diverse temptations. That's many different types of temptation, from something that you will call minute to the greatest. The examples I gave on the highway and at the gas pump in the grocery store, those tiny little times we can be tempted to sin. Amen. That's something to think about. That's a truth. We're tempted on every side, at every hand. And who's the tempter? Satan himself. We already read, it's not the Father. He doesn't tempt any man. So if you heard or you hear anybody say that, I've heard that before, God is tempted. No, he's not. The Father doesn't tempt us with evil or to do evil. We just read that. And this book is truth. Elohim himself cannot be tempted with evil. We saw that example as the Satan was trying to tempt Yeshua, who is Elohim in the flesh, was Elohim in the flesh. He couldn't be tempted with evil. Amen. And he doesn't tempt any man with it. We read that in James. Just keep that reminder. Keep that at the fore. Sometimes when we read a passage of scripture, sometimes we might read the first part. We don't read the entire passage of the verse. We don't read the entire passage of scripture. So we're missing the main ingredient that belongs to the main ingredient. We got to get in this book. We can't go just off what comes off the pulpit. I always have been one that would go back and study what came on that over that pulpit. I would go back and read that thing. And then I'd come back with questions. They thought I was crazy, especially when I was in the Baptist church. I would ask a lot of questions at the Bible study. They would look at me, she weird. I could care less. And I still didn't get answers then. I would just go to the Father. I'm like, this don't line up with that. Why is this? But see, them answers, almost 40 years later, 30-something years later, I'm getting the answers to some of those questions. I tell you, it's something. When you walk in this truth of this truth, and he tells us in all the knowledge that we get, the wisdom that we get, to get an understanding. I want understanding of what his word says. I don't just want to hear the word and not do the word, because we can't just be hearers, listeners of it, and don't do anything, don't take action. We got to put that word into action, and it got to start from the inside of us. Got to take root in our heart. Of hearts, our inner being, so we can walk it out and live it out. Amen? Amen. I believe I got some amens this morning. Hallelujah. So Yeshua was tempted and led to the wilderness tempted. We're going to be led into some wilderness situation and tempted while we're there. Tempted not to believe and stand on this word. See? This word is our source. Sword of the Spirit. That's what we fight with, which is the word of Elohim. That's part of the armor. We got to have it on. We got to be equipped in this word. Let us go to the book of Hebrews, the second chapter. Hallelujah. I was just reading Hebrews for a couple of days. I was just really wanting to read this whole thing, but I couldn't. So I was trying to figure out where to break into it at. So we're going to start at Hebrews 2. Though I really wanted to start at 1, but we'd have been here a long time. Hebrews 2, starting at the 5th verse. See, one thing about you, when we're tempted, we're going to always have help. We're going to always have help. That's why I say when we escape every time, there may be some times in your past where you didn't escape. And I shared there were times in my past where I didn't, and I had to suffer the consequences. I'm sure you have had to as well. That's why he tells us to seek him first, to acknowledge him in all our ways. That's why he instructs us to do that. When we're trying to figure it out on our own and saying, okay, we're trying to help Elohim out. He don't need us to help him out. He's Elohim all by himself. He just wants us to trust him and take him at what his word says, acknowledging him with whatever, the test, whatever the trial, whatever we decisions we have to make, we need to be acknowledging him. Hebrews 2, let's start at the 5th verse. Well, we're going to see this. Yeshua helps us when we're tempted. We're going to see this. Hallelujah. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection for the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies. That means this was written again already. Saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. And see, this is talked about in Psalms. If you want to make a note, 8. Psalms 8, verses 4 through 6. Amen. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. My. See, everything still hasn't been complete. Everything is still subject to him. See, we have authority because things were subject to Yeshua. We have, and we are his fellow brethren. We've been adopted into the royal family by and through him. Amen. Because the Father drew us. Amen. Hallelujah. We had that teaching not too long ago. Read the scriptures where no man can come except Elohim draw him to the Son. But see, they tag team. Yeshua, we have to, that's the only way in. The Father already knows who's his. He's already handpicked he's already know some are fit for destruction. That's in scripture too. Some are already fit for destruction. But he knows those who are his, who's going to follow fully after him. See, that's why the scripture lets us know it's going to be a lot of that's going to get before him, and he's going to say, depart from doing all these things in his name. Scripture tells us this. We need to pay this stuff attention. Healing in his name, delivering in his name. Well, I did this and I did that. Yes, but you were far from me. You was a worker of iniquity. Your heart was, you was doing it for the wrong reason. You were doing it to grow your church. You were doing it to say, I got all these members. I got more members than you. You was doing it for all. Your heart was wicked. See, one thing about the Great Commission, it's been twisted. The Great Commission is to go ye therefore into all the world, teaching. Well, we got to be teaching the truth, not a watered down gospel. The truth of what Yeshua came teaching. That's what we ought to be teaching. But instead, the church has turned it around that the Great Commission has come to how many souls we can get saved. That's part of it. But the Great Commission is to go share and teach the truth. Amen. That's the Great Commission, to go
teach the truth, compel, baptize. We should be doing all those things. That's the Great Commission. It's gotten a little twisted. All we're talking about is salvation, going through new member class, and then when you go through new member class, what are you teaching them? You're teaching them the doctrine of whatever that ministry is, all these denominations. Baptist teaching the Baptist doctrine. I'm just telling it like it is. It's the truth. A Pentecostal teaching their doctrine, because they all have these different, their ways of doing it. And everybody not on the same page. The denomination itself is division. I've been through that, noticed that years ago. I'm like, this makes no sense. Where did all this denomination come from? I've been trying to figure this out for years. Let's get back. I don't want to go there. My. But we see in the ninth verse, we see Yeshua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Though he was above the angels, he was made a little lower than the angels. See, the angel was just ministering spirits. Amen. We can back up in that first verse, that first chapter. It talks about that. Talks about the angels, talks about the fathers and the prophets and all that was given and the words that the angels shared with them even then. It talks about that. And it talks about, I'm going to back up at that first book, chapter, the 13th verse. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? No angel could say that. Yeshua could say that. And he gave that authority to us. Yeshua could say that. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And then we have that authority to be able to do that. The enemy is under our feet. The only power he has is the power we give him. And that's the truth anyhow. The power that we give him. Because we are power. We have to know who we are. We haven't been given the spirit of fear, but of love, from the love of the Father, of power from the Father, and a sound mind. We don't have time for our mind to be twisted and confused and fearful of nothing. We have been given dominion. We were given dominion over animals, over everything at the beginning. That hasn't changed. We still have dominion over animals and creatures, those type creatures. Amen. And see, when you think about it, the angels, I want to go to that 14th verse. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? See, we're heirs of salvation, yet being delivered. We're being saved over and over and over again. Because we're being delivered. Over and over from mess that don't belong to us, stuff that's still in us, embedded, and some of it that we say, as stated earlier, oh, well, that's just me, that's just the way I am. No, if it don't line up with the scripture, you better make a change, get yourself together. That's what this journey here, the life school of obedience. We're learning obedience. Now, Yeshua learned obedience through the things he suffered, but he suffered for us. See, we're learning things that we suffer through disobedience for not listening to him. Totally different. See, when you look at, when I say the devil has no power, but we give it to him, because he doesn't. There's a passage of scripture, I think it's in Matthew the 28th. I didn't know I was going to go here, but thank you, Holy Spirit. Got to wind this down. Thank you, Father. Matthew 28, I believe it is. Let me make sure that's where I'm going. Yeah, and sure, Matthew, this is talking about the Great Commission. That's where it is, yes. And when they, and Yeshua, the 18th verse, and Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying,
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. See right there, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So if all power has been given to the Messiah and we belong in heaven and earth, what power does the devil have? Can I ask that question? What power does he have? The only power he has is what we give him. Because all power, that's what I'm reading. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what Yeshua said. And then he said, teaching them to observe all things what I have commanded. That's why we have to pattern our lives after Yeshua. He came teaching the law and the commandments. That hasn't changed. Now, there was a few things Paul said, but you know, Paul didn't have a firsthand account. He studied Yeshua. And sometimes some things he said was a little off. And some things he just said, I said this. But he wrote most of the letters in the letters in the New Testament were written predominantly by Paul. That's why you have to cross-reference. You have to study. See, it takes work. Apostle said this yesterday at Sabbath service. It takes work. You got to study to be able to make sure you rightly divide in this truth. Amen. And sometimes when things slip up, I had to ask last week's message to be removed because as I laid down, I went to lay back down last Sunday or after the message, and the Holy Spirit said, you said something wrong. What I thought I said wrong wasn't what I thought. I had to go back and I don't like to hear myself. But I had to go back and listen to the message to find where I was wrong at. Because he let me know I stated something wrong. And what I stated wrong was the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, in that wilderness experience, they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And I stated they were led by the moon by night. I don't know what made that come out of my mouth, but I didn't catch it and didn't go back. So I had to remove that message from last week. I had to have it removed because that was wrong. Anytime, if I said, that's why at the end I open up, if you have a question, if you think I stated something wrong, ask me a question. And if I don't have the right answer then, which I pray that I will, I will give it to you. I will give it to you at a later time if I don't have it right then. That's why I say open up for questions. If you have a question about something I said or pertaining to the message, amen. I don't do it every week, every time we come together on this teaching, but sometimes I do. Amen. That's what that's all about. But I'm just grateful this morning that that passage of scripture even came back to my mind. See, all power has been given to Yeshua Messiah in heaven and in earth. So the devil only has the power that we give him. We saw it demonstrated with Messiah when he used the word to come against him and the devil had to flee. Now, he'll flee, but guess what? He's going to come back. He works hard to get us off focus, to distract us. That's what his job is. That's why we got to be on ours. That's why we got to get rooted and grounded in this word. Amen. We have to get rooted and grounded in this word. So where were we at in Matthew? I'm in Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews. Thank you, Father. 10th verse. For it became him for whom all things, and by him are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory. We get to be brought to glory because of Yeshua, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. My. Isn't that something? We're going to have to go through some things. Yeah. We're going to have to go through some things. He suffered.
We got to deal with some stuff and go through some stuff. But we have his word to fight for us. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Amen. I'm glad he calls me brethren. We are brethren. That's not gender specific. We are brethren of the Most High. Those who's following after his will, following his command. We are his brethren. Amen. Saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren. In the midst, here it says of the church. When you look that up in the, what the Greek word is, called it the congregation or the assembly. Amen. Will I sing praise unto thee? And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and children and the children which Elohim have given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. See, we're flesh and blood. But guess what? Yeshua did the same thing. He came here as flesh and blood. Elohim in the flesh. That through death he might destroy him that had power of death. That is the devil. See, he took those keys, death. Amen. He took on death for us. He shed his blood for our sin. Amen. He took those stripes on his body for our healing. Amen. Thank you, y'all. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Hallelujah. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He came to bring us salvation. Thank you for that salvation. Coming to set us free completely. We don't have to die no more. We can live eternally. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. See, he wasn't a ministering spirit. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. That's us. That he might be merciful, a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to Elohim, to make and reconciliation for the sins of people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted. See, he suffered being tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted. That's what I stated earlier. Succor means to help, to aid. So anytime we're tempted, because Yeshua was tempted, he helps us. The word says it right here. He suffered, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor. He's able to help, to aid them that are tempted. And we know we're going to be tempted. That's still happening today. That has not changed. But he's our helper. Hallelujah. Praise him for being our helper. Amen. We praise you, Father. You're worthy. You are our high priest. And we're going to confirm that even more. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, 14th and the 15th verses. Hallelujah. I wanted to read a little higher, but I'm not going to go up. 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua, the son of Elohim, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast what we're saying, what we're confessing, our faith. That's what we got to hold fast to, our faith. What do we believe? Who do we, really believe him and what he said? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted on every side as we are, but yet he did not sin. So see, the question I ask, will we escape temptation every time? Maybe we haven't, but we can. Why can we escape temptations? Let's go to 1 Corinthians.
Amen. Why can we? Let's back up to 1 Corinthians. We know Hebrews. That way it was written to, Hebrews was a book that was written by multiple. They're really not sure who wrote Hebrews. It was written by various people. But the Hebrews was ready to convert back to Judaism. And that's why it was stressing that they remember. If you go back to the beginning, they was trying to remind them, come on now. No, remember this, remember that. And even the points that we brought out about Yeshua, they were reminding them, amen, of why Yeshua even came, who he was. But let's go to 1 Corinthians, amen, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, talking about the forefathers in Israel, talking about the Red Sea. Amen. And we can go back and read that in the book of Exodus. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Amen. We know Moses, he just wrote the law. They say the law of Moses, but those were the laws of Elohim. He told Moses what to write, and Moses wrote it down. Amen. Let's not get that twisted. But you hear people say, Moses' law. We don't have to follow Moses' law. There was not Moses' law. There was the law that the Father, Elohim, instructed him to write. There were the laws of Elohim, Almighty Creator himself. Amen. And he said to follow them generation to generation to generation after generation. So that means, guess what? Were we supposed to stop? And we're all baptized. Okay. Third verse. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? Amen. That was that supernatural food that was given. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? That spiritual, remember, they drunk from the rock. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock, but then that rock was the Messiah. There was a spiritual drink. They drunk from the rock. But then the main rock who they followed was the Messiah. Hallelujah. Fifth verse. But with many of them, Elohim was not well pleased. We know the children of Israel kept disappointing over and over and over again. They kept falling short. They started murmuring, complaining, even while they was in the wilderness. They didn't know why they wanted to, you know, why did you bring us out here? Amen. They were so used to man telling them what to do. They wanted to go back to bondage. That is so sad. I don't want to get set free from something and turn back to that same bondage. I don't want to do that. I want to stay free in that area. Amen. Because guess what? Other areas will pop up and show you, okay, you need some freedom. You need some deliverance. You need some salvation in this area. Amen. We need that help. That's why this is a work in progress, and we are as well. Amen. We are a work in progress. Thank you, Father. Continue to work on me. I pray you say the same thing. Ah, hallelujah. He was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Sixth verse. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, and is written in Exodus 32. Amen. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us come in. Now, if you want to go back and read that, go to Exodus 32. I think it's around the sixth verse. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Messiah as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And see, when you go back and look this word up, tempted, and do a word search on this word, in the book of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, they were all tempting Elohim. They tempted him. Yes, they were, I think that word was a little different meaning, but they were testing him. Instead of us being tempted and tested, they were testing him. I don't want to be in that place where I'm testing the Father, the Most High, but they were the children of Israel. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. See, these things are written to encourage us, to instruct us what not to do. That's why they were written, for our learning. The scriptures were written for our learning. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. See, none of us have arrived. We all need help. None of us are perfect. I don't know how many times I've said that today, but none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. We all have work that needs to take place within us. But see, the 13th verse says, there hath no temptation of any kind taken you, but such is common to man. But Elohim is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, this is the truth of the scripture. See, that's why we can escape temptation, because he stated right here, he's going to make a way for us to escape, that we will be able to endure, that we will be able to be powerful and bear up against whatever it is that's tempting us. We have a way. And you know, people say, God not going to put more on you than you can bear. Where is that? That's not even in scripture. I think they get it from this, but it's not scripture. Why were they saying that? But they say it. I've heard it for years. I'm like, I have never read that. And I did a word search on it a long time ago, too, and couldn't find it. But I think this is the passage of scripture where they get that from. He's not tempting us with anything. So that is all wrong. He does not tempt. We read that in James. Hallelujah. Elohim does not tempt us. He's not tempted, and he's not going to tempt us. And when we go through temptations or whatever, or tests, whatever's happening, whatever type of trial is coming, and you think it's going to overtake you, it will not. If you trust in your source, if you take him at his word, amen, if you seek him first, just as he's instructed us to do, amen, he's instructed us to seek him first, to acknowledge him in all of our ways. He promised he would direct our path. When the temptation comes, he will help us to bear it, overcome it. Amen. Yes, step right over. I remember there was a song a long time ago. I don't know if all the words are legit, but I know, I remember that first verse. It said, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. When we give into it, it'll take us down a path that leads us to destruction and death. And what is sin? We've already talked about that. Anything that's outside of, that's keeping us bound, that's causing us to be disobedient to the will and the word of what the Father has instructed and what he's yet instructing us to do, how to be, how to live. Look at Yeshua. Keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. He's our finisher. He's our author. He's our finisher. We got to keep our eyes on him. Amen. Go to the book. Study that word. Meditate on it. Don't just read it. Cross-reference. Do word searches. That's how I've always studied. I'm doing it even the more now. Amen. I have to, because I want to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. That's why he says study, to show yourself approved unto Elohim. That's who has to approve me. That's who I have to stand in account from. That's who you have to stand. Nobody's going to stand before him for us. Your husband, if you're married, not going to stand before him for you. Your children, not going to stand before him for you. Nobody. We're going to have a one-on-one standing before him. One-on-one. I want to hear, well done. I don't want to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Doing all these acts in his name. His name is powerful all by itself. Hallelujah. His name is powerful all by itself. But when you know what's better, you do what's better. And yes, for years, I prayed in the name of Jesus. For years. Now that I know, I pray in his original name, Yeshua. There was no J's in the Hebrew writings of the scriptures when they were written on scrolls. That's the Old Testament. You know, the New couldn't, they're all one book. Man did a split. Because when the New came, how it came, it was still referencing the covenant and the law. That's all that there was. That's all there was. Nothing else. But man came in adding his own tradition, and he's still doing it today. But you know what? My encouragement to you today is just don't let the enemy have power over you, because he has no power. We already know we're going to be tempted. We already know with different various types of trials, tests, and everything, we're going to be tempted to sin. But we can't escape the temptation. This right here, stand on this passage right here. If there's no other passage, or just look back at Yeshua. Do a word search on tempt or tempted, and you'll see all the temptations that Yeshua went through. I'm sure there was more. I didn't get them all, but these were the ones the Father gave me. Amen. And what I wanted to share with us and encourage us with. I pray that this word has encouraged you to continue to go forth in the name of Yeshua Messiah. I pray that, you know, he will continue to watch over you, keep you in every area of your life. If you're tempted with anything right now, or, you know, I'm going to open up if you have a prayer request. Only 2 minutes left. I'm just going to open up maybe for a prayer request if you have one. I'm opening the lines. If your line is unmuted and you don't want to say anything, just mute your line. Any prayer requests? No prayer requests? I'm just going to close out with prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word that you encouraged us with today. We thank you for your presence being with us. We thank you for the leading and the guiding of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you continue to cover your people, continue to bless them as they go forth throughout this week and this day. Thank you for going forth before, making every crooked path straight. We thank you. We give you praise. Angelic hosts, we loose you to be on guard on our behalf with travels of mercy. And we just give you praise. I just want to bless you with this blessing coming out of no numbers. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom until the next broadcast. I love you.
Did you know that Pepsi has partnered with Racetrack so you can enjoy the big game on Sunday in the best way? This Friday through Sunday only, if you buy a whole extra large pizza at regular price at any participating Racetrack location, you get a free 2-liter Pepsi with the Racetrack Rewards app. Yeah, that's right. Man, forget this. Let's head to Racetrack to get our extra large pizza and free Pepsi. Offer available at participating Racetrack locations from February 9th through 11th or while supplies last.
It's a fact. Heating and air systems are wonderful, right up until they don't work. If your HVAC system is more than 15 years old, or you find yourself making frequent repair calls, it may be time to invest in a new system. Estes Services can help you determine the right course of action and help you save money on your energy bills. Visit EstesAir.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's EstesAir.com. Save money and hassles with an estimate from Estes Services today. EstesAir.com. That's E-S-T-E-S Air.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When it comes to beautiful lawns, nothing cuts like a Gravely zero-turn mower. And there's nothing like Gravely's Mow the Distance sales event starting Wednesday. Save up to 25% with special financing available only at your local Gravely dealer.